I'm a part-time rock star.
What's up? Welcome to the Part-Time Rockstar Podcast, episode 255. I'm your host, Brett Bueller. Today we have on the New Mutiny out of Norfolk, Virginia. And in the interview, I spoke with Jeremy Hetman. The guys say they draw inspiration for their music from genres like metal, hardcore, punk, southern rock, surf, doom, and stoner rock, among others. And Jeremy and I had a real good conversation, just kind of talking about their approach to songwriting, the Norfolk scene. We talked about some darker things like suicide and depression, and some of the lyricism that comes from that, and some other random stories as well. I featured the new track God Killer on this episode, and if you like it, you definitely go stream it wherever you listen to music. But wherever you're tuning in from, thanks for doing so. Thanks for supporting local art and all that stuff. Hopefully yourself are doing well out there playing shows, staying positive, booking gigs, all that sort of stuff. This podcast is available on Spotify and Apple, wherever you listen to stuff. But personal news and notes, I should announce that the third annual Part-Time Rockstar Fest is happening this year, June 8th in Baltimore at Fishhead Cantina. I'll be dropping the lineup on the Instagram page here soon, but we got it all straightened out, I think, now. And we are ready to go, so I'll be talking about that for sure in the upcoming months, but look out for that on the horizon. Last few things I normally mention is Part-Time Rockstar Productions is going. If you're looking for any new video content, we certainly help you out with that. And also the sponsor of the show is Truly Strings Guitar Shop, based out of Laurel, Maryland, where I take all my guitars to get them fixed up. But yeah, without any further ado, we'll get to the conversation with Jeremy. Well, welcome on the show, the Part-Time Rockstar Podcast, that I call it here, generally in the Baltimore neck of the woods, and something I've been running for a few years, just, to kill some time and make some friends and that sort of thing.
Kill it.
And you're down in Norfolk?
Yeah, Norfolk, Virginia, Tidewater area of Virginia, yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Been trying to get down there a little more to play, like Richmond, stuff like that.
Yeah. Richmond's a great scene, man. There's a lot of great bands there. There's a lot of great venues. People love live music there, and they're super supportive. So, yeah, if you need to get down there, let me know. I can probably put you in touch with some people.
I definitely do. We are trying to fill a date here in May while we're in the area. So,
yeah.
Maybe you can hop on the bill with us. Who knows? You guys are definitely a little on the metal side for sure. I meant to send you my band's stuff as well. We're kind of like, I guess a little bit more just general rock, alt rock.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
But yeah, I was also checking out your guys' stuff and music videos and all that sort of thing. It's pretty cool.
Killer, man. Thanks.
The video with the guy jumping off the bridge was pretty gnarly.
Yeah. We kind of gave carte blanche to a good friend of mine who owns his own kind of film company, and we originally had thought of like doing like a trilogy of videos that would have kind of a common theme. And I think the original idea was to do something like Natural Born Killers as kind of meets this, you know, this trilogy. And that was kind of the direction. And it was just kind of like, hey, man, you know, what do you think you can do with this? And, you know, we kind of, you know, went off the cuff and kind of, you know, did it on the fly with kind of the storyboarding. And he did an amazing job. And the actors and actresses did an amazing job. And we got to the last one and he's like, you know, I kind of want to make this gruesome and like, you know, kind of like bloody-ish. I was like, dude, the better, you know what I mean? Like, go for it. So yeah, so it came out well, and you know, it's this last album that we did has to deal with a lot about, you know, kind of depression and inner kind of, turmoil. And, you know, that's kind of what the songs are about. You know, not diving too deep into the backstory on them, on each individual one. But the overall theme, you know, is kind of about self-care and suicide prevention, depression, things like that. Obviously, kind of coming out of COVID, there's a lot of that. And the album was basically written during COVID. So I think there was kind of some feelings of isolation for us. As well as, you know, my singer Jason, you know, his own personal experiences. So that really seeped into the overall aesthetic of the album. And I think we tried to get that across too in some of the, you know, the music videos that we did for this kind of trilogy of songs. So Mel, thanks, man. Thanks for checking that out. We had fun with it, and you know, looking to do some more here in the future. So
yeah, I'll link it in the episode, so hopefully people can find it.
Killer.
As a medic and a firefighter for a long time, there was this bridge on a major highway that people like to jump off of all the time to kill themselves. So it reminded me of that, for sure, seeing all those bodies go splat. There was one time in particular, there's one story that I still just never quite got over, because it was like 4 a.m. and these guys, or this couple is like driving home, like wasted after a party, allegedly. And then allegedly had an argument. And then the guy driving the car just pulls over and jumps off the bridge, at least according to the story.
Right.
And like, it was almost like spontaneous the way his girlfriend described it, like not even super premeditated, which I always found like, I don't know, just extra crazy maybe.
Right. Yeah, that's a crazy situation to be in, especially for her, and who knows what happened that led up to that. But
yeah,
it'd be pretty nuts to be in a car and somebody just pulls over and is like, "That's it, I'm on now. Yeah, see you later, peace out." And hucks themselves off the bridge. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we've all probably thought about it sitting in traffic before, you know, not to make too much light of it.
Absolutely.
But on a more serious note, I do read a lot of books, and I mentioned it on an episode or two not too long ago, but there's a good book, I think, on suicide in particular called Reasons to Stay Alive, which I recommend to people on a more serious note if they're struggling.
Yep. That's the thing, man. I think if anything, you know, if any good came out of, you know, the pandemic and the isolation aspect of it, that I think it brought some more focus to mental health and people had the ability to kind of like maybe look inside and kind of evaluate their mental health and how they're doing and realize that, like, look, you know, that's definitely a big part of, you know, being a healthy human being is maintaining that and realizing that there's always, you know, even if you feel you have no one to turn to and no one to talk to, there's always somebody you can talk to. And that person might not be in your circle or close to you or even in the same state or whatever, but, you know, there's people willing to listen. There's reasons to, you know, there's no reason to leave, right? Like, we all got to leave eventually at some point, you know, and I don't think it's ever that bad where you want to, you know, kind of jump the gun on that exit. So, you know, if there's anybody that's battling depression and what have you, I mean, there's people out there that can help, and there's a lot of assistance out there for getting that help and ways to kind of battle that and get through it. So, I think a lot of that was kind of, you know, in this last album cycle that we did, in the last album that we kind of put out, was, you know, had to deal with a lot of those topics. And, you know, when we were writing it was kind of, we started, especially once we started putting lyrics to it, and my singer Jason started putting his his touch on those lyrics, and he wrote all the lyrics for it. We started reading it. It was super dark and just kind of like, wow, man, super heavy, but I think he did a good job of kind of putting a spin on a positivity towards the end, and like, even though the content might have been dark to start, I think there was there's some silver linings and positivity kind of shown through and on some of it. So it's just one of those things. It's hard for people to realize that, that feeling of loneliness is just a feeling, and it's not the reality. There's a lot of assistance out there for, somebody that's kind of is struggling with that mental health and depression. And I mean, we all go through it, right? So, there's no reason to, I feel like, ever, get to that breaking point where you feel your life's not worth it. And not being here is not, it's not part of the plan, or it's not, that nobody would miss you if you were gone type of thing. So like, yeah, I mean, there's no reason to ever throw in the towel and quit on it. So, it's a slippery slope, for a lot of people. And, you mix, drugs and alcohol into that and the death of others around you, and kind of combines into everything, and obviously with the isolation during COVID, there's a lot of people that kind of they couldn't make it through it. So if anything just there's a realization that it's never that bad, right? Like there's ways to get help, and you just kind of, you gotta look for those, or at least talk to people, at least have some sort of communication in some fashion. So
yeah, I guess you never ultimately know how anyone else feels. You only know how you feel.
It's true. And, very true.
As much as I think like depression and anxiety is just part of life, everybody's got a different spectrum and a different flavor of it. And right. Yeah, it's definitely can sneak up on you.
For sure.
I sometimes feel like it's like the times you're doing the best is like when you have to be most watchful. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of strange.
Yeah. It's crazy too, because you would see people like that you would think, and that's like you said, you never know what somebody's going through, and on the outside it may look like somebody's got this, they're just killing it, they've got this amazing life and everything goes their way, nothing's ever bad. But if you sat down and actually talked to that person, you realize they're just like not happy and super depressed, and like you said, sometimes when things are, when things are on the up and up, you can't let that kind of creep into you, and I think any day that you're still above, above ground and able to breathe and you're still here is a good day. So, life's so precious, man. And we're only here for a short time. So, you got to make the most of what time you have, and there's always someone that's in a worse spot, I feel like, in somewhere. So, trying to appreciate what you got and make the best of it, man. It's all you can do, So
yeah, for sure. It's all subjective at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are there any other than music, are there any like practices or things that like work for you when you're feeling down? Or also likewise, maybe, I don't know if you can speak for your singer, but things that maybe helped him work himself out of the funk, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, obviously music's a big one. I think, having the camaraderie of a group of, in my case, a group of guys that are, good friends and all kind of share the same drive and same interests, and we're all on the same page, and being able to get into a room, a couple times a week and bang it out and keeping your mind busy, more than anything else. And whether that be, working on new material and lyrics and stuff like that, for me, it has always been something to, to get your mind off of, the woe or the depression aspect of it. So for me, it's always been, just immersing myself and writing and then working out song, structures and things like that, as well as, just going outside and taking a walk or working out or, you know, anything where you can get some fresh air and get your blood moving and feel, you know, get that oxygen in your blood and you know, work it out that way, I think is a good way to kind of get your mind off of it. Anything you can do to kind of get your mind off of it. I can't really speak for Jason.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as the, you know, what he's done, I know, you know, obviously having conversations is big and being able to talk about things, but I think music is also, you know, a big part of what's really kind of helped him. I know this last album, The Only Animal, was really kind of like a lot of stuff that he had on his chest that he needed to get off. And it was kind of a situation when we started writing it, and he, you know, it originally kind of took, you know, we originally kind of thought about doing like a concept, and then it kind of straight away from being a concept, and he's like, here's what I want to do with it. And we were just like, run with it, man. You know what I mean? Like, and I think it was a very therapeutic experience for him to, you know, get the stuff out of his mind and lay it down on paper, and then obviously lay it down on, you know, on wax, on a recording, and let people hear it, you know. And it's interesting because since, you know, we put this material out there, you know, I think I know some people have kind of reached out to him and said some, you know, like, hey, I'm going through similar things, and you know, how do I just want, you know, I just kind of want to let you know that I relate to what you're saying. And
yeah,
I think it's an interesting thing for him, to be in that. Cause you know, I mean, like he's not like a therapist or anything. He's, you know, so, but that connection, you know, we kind of talked about it a couple of weeks ago. I was like, well, you know, we're in this spot now. You approach these topics and you wrote it from the heart, and that resonates with people, man. So like, yeah, when people are, you know, they connect to that and be able to have those conversations and you know, whether it be at a show or after a show or, you know, even online, and someone DMs us and hey, you know, listen to your song and I, you know, I relate, or you know, your lyrics kind of hit me and stuff like that. It's super cool to have that interaction with, mm-hmm. you know, somebody you might not know, or, you know, somebody that, you know, maybe, you know, that, you know, you didn't know that listen to your stuff, or, you know, just having that connection. And then I think that's another big part of it too, is being able to, you know, maybe breach those conversations through the music. If that's the first step, if like somebody hears something that, you know, we've put out and it resonates with them, or just a lyric touches them somehow, and, you know, they can relate and they grasp onto that, like that's the first step into, you know, breaching the conversation or having the conversation or being open to having conversation. So, you know, we welcome that. You know, I mean, I we're not therapists by any means. I mean, we're all, you know, messed up in our own ways, and, you know, we have our own things going on, but, if anything, you know, we're more than willing to listen to what somebody's got to say. And if the music or the lyrics have pulled us into that conversation, you know, I only see that as being a positive thing. It's cool that the power of, you know, art and music has the ability to, you know, kind of make those connections for people, you know, regardless of, you know, race, color, creed, what have you, you know what I mean? So, I mean, it's that gravitation and that connection and being able to kind of sync up as human beings that, you know, might not understand each other, but have a willingness to, you know, at least have open dialogue about, you know, what someone's going through, or, you know, whatever. I think that's, you know, that's awesome. And if that becomes, you know, something that we have to bear, then it is what it is, you know. But I think it's that connection aspect is super cool, because I think as a musician, I mean, for me personally, I don't write I don't write the music that we play, and I don't think we write the music that we perform ever in hopes of like, hey, let's try to do something that, you know, people are going to like, you know, like it's never been a situation where it's like, okay, we want to write this song like this because we think people are going to, and, you know, like it and gravitate towards it. Yeah, it's cool. People like it. But I think we write it for us and we write what we want to hear and what, you know, the stuff that's in our heads you know, that. So, when people resonate, when it resonates with people outside of the four guys that are in this project, like that's awesome. You know what I mean? That's super cool. And, for us, I think it's, you know, that's kind of the cherry on the, you know, that's kind of the cherry on the top, right? Of, well, you know, people get it. Not everybody else, you know, everybody might not get it. Might not be everybody's cup of tea, and that's fine. But if the, you know, there's people out there that dig on it, and especially from a lyrical content where, and I can't speak for Jason, but, you know, I know if I was writing, you know, if those were my lyrics and those were touching people in a certain way, like that to me is awesome. And obviously it combined with music, because you can listen to a lot of bands that are really great bands that the lyrical content is just meh. You know, yeah. What I mean? It's the same, you know, they're not really saying anything. So, I think that's one thing that he does very well is, you know, he takes the lyrical content as serious as we take the music. And I think it kind of, you know, it kind of comes out of what we do. So that's obviously a big key of the mix that makes the new mutiny at the end of the day. So,
yeah. For sure. And like in general, one of the reasons I like doing a podcast like this is to kind of like encourage or just talk about like adult creative behavior, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, yeah, as you get older, it's like easier to get busier or lazier. Mm-hmm. Or whatever it is. And like, yep. I guess also feel like, you know, the sun has passed you by as far as like any form of success may go. Like,
right,
like a large term or whatever,
right?
But it's cool, yeah. It's cool to see that like people still make stuff regardless of that. And then this is obviously not to say or diminish anything you guys have done, because honestly you seem like fairly successful for what you're doing so far. I mean,
yeah.
You got a bunch of followers online and stuff like that, so that always looks good. And if you're getting feedback from real live people, you know, what more can you ask for? I feel like.
Yeah.
How long have you guys been at it?
So in this formation of this project, I think we've been together for, Jason's been in the project for about 5 years with us. So me and the drummer started jamming about 8-9 years ago. I moved here from Pennsylvania. It might be 10 actually. Me and the drummer started jamming. We kind of connected through the internet, by random. It's kind of a long story, a Craigslist story. Me and him jammed for a long, you know, we've been jamming ever since. And kind of went through different iterations of the project. You know, trying to find, that's the hardest thing, is like trying to find the like-minded people that, you know, stick, that want to put in the effort, that, you know, you can hang out with outside of the band, that, you know, everybody's on the same page. And, you know, about 5 years ago, we were able to kind of coerce Jason, our singer, into joining the project. And about a year and a half ago, we kind of went through a couple bass players. We had a bass player that ended up moving, and, you know, we kind of went on a search for a new bass player. And then we were able to get our current bassist, Nick, about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years. And we've been firing on all cylinders since. And it finally feels like, you know, we're a whole, it's whole, like everybody's pulls their own weight. Everybody, you know, we all yeah. Jive very well together. You know, not only from a musical aspect, but also from like just a friend aspect. From a, you know, just kind of a regular guy you know, aspect. So that's cool that we finally got to the point where there's, you know, we're a total cohesive unit. And I think the new material that we've been writing since is really going to kind of showcase that. I think some of the best stuff that we've done so far. I mean, nobody's really heard any of it outside of us yet, because we have not yet recorded any of it. But that's really what we've been kind of focusing on is the songwriting and putting together the new album as we're kind of finishing up the cycle on this last one. So we're all kind of stoked on how things are going and our processes and it's been good. So I would say total as a band, you know, sit with Jason about 5 years. Nick's been in it for about a year and a half, almost 2 years. But the New Mutiny has been around the area for probably the better part of about 8 years in one form or another.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't quite sure because Spotify goes back to like 2019 or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That was some of the first releases that we put out. I believe everything that's on Spotify has Jason singing on it on it, playing guitar on it as well too. So those are some of the first recordings we released with him. We did I think like 4 songs, and then we did an EP after that right before COVID, and then we recorded an album during COVID. That we've been dropping singles over this like last year and a half since. And we're in the process now where we've got about a full album written so far that we're looking to start tracking here in the next couple of months. That we'll, I don't know if we'll do the single thing again, because it was kind of, I don't know if you guys ever done that where you kind of like waterfall an album where it's like you release a single every couple of months. And you take an album that's 10 songs and it lasts you, a year.
That's the common trend these days. So I was if that's effectively what you were doing. Because when you mentioned an album before, obviously singles are out, but I can clearly piece together that's going to be just the whole shebang eventually, probably.
Yeah, so the last album the album itself, The Only Animal, comes out in, I believe, 2 weeks, a week and a half. I think it comes out on the 14th as a whole.
Nice.
So it'll be out as a whole. There's 3 additional tracks that are kind of like sequence transition tracks that are on the album. Yeah. A couple of electronic things that are on there. But when we recorded it, you know, we kind of thought about, you know, kind of maximizing that investment and dropping it as singles where we could expand the life of the album, which I understand. And I thought it did okay. I thought it was okay to do it like that. I kind of don't like doing it like that. Like I'd rather just, you know, drop 2 singles, drop the main single and then release the album. Right. Like, but you were in a position where, you know, if you go and spend all this money and time to record an album and then you just drop the whole thing and people, you know, it's gone before, you know, people get the actual chance to kind of really dive into it. So there's kind of 2 different schools of thought, but The Only Animal that we have been releasing singles off of for the last year, will be out as a whole, I believe on the 14th of this month. And then I don't know what we'll do for the next one. I don't know if we'll do the same thing. We still got to kind of talk about that. I know me and Jason were talking about it and we didn't want to do that. But you know, we'll see if that makes sense for us again this next time. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where no one buys albums anymore, man, unless it's vinyl, you know what I mean? Nobody buys CDs. No one has a CD player. Nobody has a tape player. I mean, you see tapes at shows and they're just kind of like novelty things. Like, it's interesting. It's interesting from you know, an artist perspective. On, you know, I saw a meme the other day that like basically bands are just, you know, traveling t-shirt salesmen,
pretty much.
At this point. So I don't know. The whole singles thing, I get it. You know, it's definitely a maximize on investment, but I don't know. It kind of takes away from the, especially for an unsigned band that doesn't have anybody, you know, that's really you know, pushing it, or you know, you're not working on a big media campaign that's, hey, this new album's coming out, like, you gotta listen to the whole thing. Like, it's like, if we could drop a couple of songs in every couple of months and stay relevant, like, isn't that the way to do it? Like, isn't that smart play? I don't know.
Yeah, because to me, it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that you might as well play the game, because in the long run, the album's out anyway. So two or three years from now, you won't remember how you released your release strategy. You'll just know that whatever you made is out in the wild. And if it helps you sort of build up a little bit of inertia, a little bit of excitement, why not?
You know? Yeah. Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. I kind of thought about maybe doing like a couple singles and then releasing the whole album, and then like,
yeah,
maybe doing like promotional, you know, like then do videos for the, you know, the, even though the songs are out, like still have a video come out every other month or something like that, just to kind of have something to kind of talk about, if, you know, depending on what. But I don't know, man. It's an interesting time in the music industry as digital, you know, digital is completely taken over, and you see somewhat of a pushback to the vinyl and for some bands. But it's, you know, albums as a whole, like as a whole concept, as a whole thought, like I appreciate those a lot more now, where it's like there's a cohesive process to the whole thing. Like the whole thing is a, you know, it's intertwined in some way, rather than it being just, okay, here's a song, here's a song, here's a song. Like, whether it be the artwork that ties it in, or the, you know, the overall sound, or the overall lyrical content, I think it, you know, I think that's a cool thing to have, that, you know, releasing an album as a whole, you know, cohesive thought and a project is, it's rare, you know, these days, unless you're an artist that has that ability to do that, where you've got, you know, a machine behind you pushing it, and, you know, you can drop an album and somebody's willing to spend $9 on it or $10 on it. So,
yeah, I mean, for better or worse, most of us probably didn't get into music to make money anyway.
No, absolutely not.
Which isn't to say that, like, we shouldn't make money, but it's just kind of the reality. And, I don't know, one of the guys who's been touring for decades now, who I've talked to on this a couple of times, he always likes to say that nothing's changed in the sense for him, in the fact that, like, a record is just a flyer to come see a show. And that's how he's always been. It's like, the show is the product, at least from his perspective. And I don't know, there's something to be said, I feel like, about that for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, for me, like, don't get me wrong, I love, you know, the writing process, and I like the recording process. I like being involved with that, and I like, you know, taking the time to go through it and you know, try new things and getting it, you know, hearing it back for the first time from a, you know, from an initial mix down to a master is cool. You know, it's if you're, you know, you're giving birth, right?
Yeah.
But playing live is really where it's at. Like, getting up on stage and you know, being able to burn down a set and you know, have that, feel good about that, and you look out at the crowd and people are into it, and you know, people come up to you after the show or come to the merch booth, and you know, they never heard of you until tonight, and you know, they dig it, and that kind of connection is cool, because it, you know, it's the human element, man. It's that face to face thing, rather than somebody giving you a thumbs up on something you posted online, or you know what I mean? Like, yeah. So for me, it's playing live, and it's all parts of it, but you know, I kind of understand that it all goes into, you know, all of that. So, it's fun, but yeah, definitely not in it for the money by any means.
Yeah, for sure. I'll just gotta adapt, I guess. Whatever it is we're doing. Are you guys getting out of town at all? Or are you mostly playing Norfolk and Richmond?
No, we're out of town more than we're in town, to be honest with you. We do a lot of, we do a lot of regional stuff, trying to do a lot more this year as well. Richmond's been great. We've been up into, you know, northern Virginia and like the Winchester area. We've been out towards like Roanoke and Western Virginia, down in North Carolina, South Carolina, and trying to, you know, branch into some states that we haven't been to yet this year. So yeah, for us, I mean, we, you know, depending on what's happening here locally, you know, we kind of do the weekend warrior thing where we'll go out for a couple of days, you know, we'll do a Friday, Saturday, and, you know, maybe do a Thursday, Friday, Saturday if we can, or, you know, just kind of depends on what the opportunities are. We've got some stuff coming up here in the beginning of March, that's out of town. It's kind of cool. It's like a camping trip for us. I mean, guys got wives and kids and stuff, and they get to get away for a weekend, and we stay, you know, we stay in a hotel and act like idiots, and you know, we're kind of not that we're like trashing hotels and stuff like that, but you know, we get away and get to meet new people and get to play new places and kind of have a good time. And it's kind of like a, you know, camping trip in the woods for us to, you know, to kind of just get away. And we, you know, it's fun for the bonding and the, obviously, you know, hopefully playing a good show and having a great experience there and meeting some new people and, you know, meeting some new fans and getting to spread our art.
Exactly.
To people that might not have had the opportunity to hear us or see us before. So that's I think that's what, you know, we enjoy the most about it, at least, you know, me. So
yeah, man. Well, I mean, the term band itself is only a biological term initially that came from like referring to a troop of monkeys, and so I always look at it that way. If you're not out traveling together and behaving like a little gang, you know, the gang comes first and the music comes second, kind of.
Right.
Or at least to me it should, but whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
To each their
own. Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, no, it's fun. It's fun to get out there and, you know, see different stuff and play different venues and see different bands. You know, I mean, that's always what's cool, is that you run across people that we haven't had the opportunity to play with, and we get to see them rip and you know, just get to be tourists for a little bit, right? Like, yeah. I mean, we get to go somewhere, be the tourist guys and go see cool stuff that we haven't had the opportunity to see, and you know, and get to play a rock show at the end of it. So that's it's fun. And yeah,
hell
it
yeah,
makes up for the, you know, the rest of the crap with the driving and everything else that goes into it, you know. So
sweet. Well, yeah, I'll slap a tune on here for you, whichever one you want. I'm gonna guess it's not Revenge Porn.
The latest single is God Killer. So if you want to throw that one up,
okay. Yeah, you have a couple interesting song titles out there. So it's like, don't know what that's about, but probably not the lead single.
No. Revenge Porn was off the last EP.
Okay, that's cool. Well, yeah. Obviously, it's been good talking to you, and looks like we're gonna get the boot here in a few minutes on this Zoom call. Is there anything like maybe I didn't touch on or didn't ask, like either shout outs or you know?
No. Yeah, I mean, check us out. We're on all social media. We'll hopefully be coming to a town near you. Love to get up into the Maryland, Baltimore area. I've played there a decent amount in other projects. And, you know, if you guys are looking for any help down this way, you know, definitely, please don't hesitate to hit me up. Let me know what the dates are. And, you know, if you've got a band that you're coming through with or looking for bands or whatever, just let me know and I'll help in any way that I can, man.
That'd be great.
Appreciate the opportunity. Yeah, appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk with you.
Yeah, I feel like every little small bit helps for, you know, us type of bands. So
absolutely.
And yeah, even though we're not necessarily in the same genre, I can definitely point you towards some places to play around here that
we kind of don't get hung up on the genre thing, to be honest with you. Like, okay, we play with anybody. Yeah, we play with anybody, whoever, whenever. Like, I mean, we don't really we definitely have like a little bit of a heavier edge to it, but like,
yeah,
you know, for us it's all just rock and roll. So mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll play with, I mean, we play with acoustic acts, we play with surf rock, we play with, you know, whoever, whenever. Doesn't really matter to us, man. It's all about just having a good time and you know, ripping a set, so.
Hell yeah. Well, other than that, I guess hopefully we'll meet one of these days, real life.
Yeah, absolutely, brother. Well, cool. have a good rest of your Sunday, and like I said, thanks again.
Yeah, dude. Have a good night.
All right, brother. Thanks, man.
So yeah, thanks to Jeremy for coming on the show, and thanks to you for listening. The song that you're hearing in the background is called God Killer by The New Mutiny. Someone call 911. My mother killed my father. My son's a loaded gun. Don't children make great martyrs? So your preacher's a man of God. To me, that's another accomplice. You cling to your rugged cross, yet I cling to my wavering conscience. The devil. Garden of Eden. Yeah, I know.